My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there anywhere in this life where you may be where God is not with you? David asked this question in one of his psalms by writing, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall take hold of me." In the highest moments of your life, God is there, and also in the very lowest moments of your life, God is there. In the brightest joys of life and in the darkest tragedies, God is there with you. And in the most desolate places, like the uttermost parts of the sea, or in a lonely, deserted place, Jesus is there caring for you. Jesus was caring for his disciples when he knew they needed some rest and a break from the demands of ministry, so much so that they even didn't have time to feed themselves, to eat. Life gets kind of crazy that way. But the demands of a broken world never rest. And instead of solitude, the disciples and Jesus were faced with a crowd of 5,000 men who needed care. There's no rest for the weary. And there's no rest for the sinner in us either. He's always demanding that he be taken care of, seeking his own interest, and is never, ever satisfied. No sooner did the Red Sea close up on Pharaoh and his army than the Israelites were grumbling against God that they had no food to eat, and they were hungry. In the face of God's mighty act of deliverance, Israel wanted to return back to Egypt, where at least they had food on the table. Yet our Lord provides. And God provided that day bread from heaven to feed his people. And they ate, and their hunger was satisfied. And in our gospel lesson, the disciples were not so willing to feed that large crowd. They wanted to send them away to fend for themselves and to buy their own food in the neighboring towns. Human sympathy only goes so far. And even the best intentions have their limitations. How on earth are they going to feed 5,000 men? Even if they had the 200 denarii, it is doubtful they could find enough bread to buy to feed the crowd of that size. You can almost hear their grumbling, just like their forefathers. And just like Yahweh, feeding the Israelites with miraculous bread from heaven in the wilderness, so too Jesus feeds the crowd of 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish in the middle of nowhere. How did Jesus do it? How does Jesus multiply so little food to feed so many people? Well, we're not told how. We're only told why he did it. Jesus was moved with compassion over the crowd. He saw them as they really are. People in a desperate situation, in need of care. They're described as sheep without a shepherd, without guidance, without someone to provide for them, to care for them. So Jesus becomes their shepherd. He takes the loaves and the fish and he blesses them. And then he breaks the bread and gives it to the disciples to give to the people. And we're told that all ate and were satisfied. They ate until they couldn't eat anymore. And even then, there were 12 basketfuls of bread and fish left over. Jesus supplied above and beyond what was needed to care for the needs of his disciples and for that large crowd. Our Lord's compassion was overabundant for them and is overabundant for you. Jesus didn't come into this world to free us from our earthly sickness and hunger. All those who ate on that day in the wilderness would hunger again, and all those who were healed of their illnesses would eventually close their eyes in death. There's no escape from that wage that is due every sinner. You earned it, and so do I. But the one who was blessing the bread on that day before the crowd is the very bread that has come down from heaven. Jesus gave his own flesh to die upon a cross of condemnation. The righteous branch from David took upon himself your sin and my sin that condemns us, that condemns you. And standing alone before God, you have no excuse, no defense. You're found guilty before the righteous judge. But through Christ's offering upon his cross, he became your righteousness. And the sins that pay out death are laid upon him, Christ, your Savior. For he has had compassion on you and feeds you forgiveness of your sins, and he gives you life and salvation. For you and everyone here that eats of that living bread and who believes in that living word has what it promises, forgiveness and life for you. And Mark doesn't tell us how Jesus does it, how he feeds the 5,000 men with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He only tells us why. Because Jesus had compassion on the sheep who were without a shepherd. And Mark tells us what Jesus did. He took the bread and the fish and he blessed them. And he broke the bread, and he gave it to the disciples to feed his sheep. I guess Jesus could have just spoken a word to create food in their stomachs, to make them satisfied. Why not? He calmed the storm and calmed the winds with just a word. But instead, Jesus uses the means of bread and wine to feed his sheep. To feed you this morning. You who come here this morning around our Lord's table, hungry, in need of forgiveness, in need of your faith to be strengthened, who need the assurance of life and of salvation in the midst of a broken and desolate world. You who need life and salvation, come this morning and be satisfied. For our Lord gives himself to you this very morning and feeds you his flesh and his blood so that you may never hunger or thirst again. In Jesus' name, amen.